From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. The removal of most of the dams on the Klamath River was an historic act and an engineering feat. But for many tribes of indigenous peoples in Oregon and Northern California, it was so much more than that. It was a reclamation of their river and a tribute to many, many generations who continually asked for the river to be returned to its natural habitat. Therefore, it was only fitting that a group of young indigenous people were honored with the first descent of the river in boats. Today on the show, you'll hear from a documentarian at OPB who produced and directed the film First Descent, Kayaking the Klamath. The film chronicles these young people as they navigate more than 300 miles of wild river to the ocean. Their story is next on Oregon on the Record. In the Pacific Northwest, our rivers are treasures. They help define our region and community. As such, the long overdue removal of dams on the Klamath River is historic in so many ways. Today on the show, you'll hear from a documentary filmmaker about the historic journey of teenage indigenous people who got the chance to be the first to paddle this now free river. Jesse Sears, proud member of the Karuk tribe, is a producer and director and cinematographer based in Portland. She produced and directed the new OPB documentary, First Descent, Kayaking the Klamath. Jesse, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael.
Yeah. Tell us why you wanted to make this documentary.
This documentary is super special to me because I've actually been filming the dam removal itself on the Klamath River for the past, I want to say, 3-4 years. I stopped working on that documentary when I started at OPB a year ago, and this was the next step. And then as a Karuk tribal member, I was actually born and raised in Portland, Oregon. So, I'm a city girl, and getting to film the dam removal itself was a way for me to reconnect with, reconnect with my roots, reconnect with the space that my grandma grew up in. And this was, the next step. This was the next step to show what happens after. So it was not only a homecoming for the river, it was also a homecoming for myself as well.
Yeah. And for folks who, and I'm going to link to the documentary on our website, but for folks who are going to see it, it's an amazing journey of these young indigenous people kayaking the river. And I'm thinking, boy, as a documentarian, as someone filming this, talk about some of the challenges, because obviously you're on a river, and for folks who don't know, this isn't like a fun little paddle down a gently moving body of water. I mean, these are challenging rapids. These kids are in, river kayaks, so they're moving fast through rapids. Talk about the challenges of filming all this.
I gotta tell you, this was a logistical nightmare, and in all my years as a filmmaker, I thought I have filmed difficult things. This was by far the hardest thing I've had to film. And huge shout out to my cinematographer, Brandon Swanson, because he knew which gear to bring. He knew which microphones would withstand water. He knew that we had to bring GoPros, and he was just on it. And from my job, having to plan this and plan around it. And, we went down for, we were there for 10 days out of the 30-day journey. And so having to meet up with the crew and all the paddlers in the middle was very difficult because they were all out of service. And so I had to look at a map and figure out where they were going to be on a very certain day and then drive down from Portland and just hope that I can find them. because without service down there, I also couldn't have maps. So being able to find them on the river was difficult. And then on the last 3 days, we were actually on a raft. And we didn't have access to our car. We didn't have access to electricity. We were camping alongside the paddlers. And so we knew that, if we drop the camera in the water on day one, we don't get the final 3 days. And we had to bring enough batteries and memory cards, just knowing that we weren't going to be able to offload it onto a hard drive until the final day, until we were done. So it was just all, like I said, a logistical nightmare, but it all came through. And I'm very happy to say that we didn't have any catastrophes, which is really great.
Yeah, exactly. Jesse, when you were making this, when you were at the act of filming, you know, again, they're kids and they're in a fairly dangerous situation. Were there moments where your heart was in your throat because they were running these rapids and, you know, you're there filming it and realizing, yeah, this isn't just a long journey on a river. This is punctuated by very, very intense moments.
Yes, that's a good question. We actually were not able to be there for the crazy rapids because it was just too dangerous. And I can understand how the organizers of this journey, they already have to look out for these teens. They don't want to also look out for a camera crew from the city.
Sure.
So we did license some footage from them, but there were a few moments that was really nerve-wracking for me. And it was when a few of the teenagers were practicing their hand rolls, which is when you throw your paddle and you go upside down and you come back up. And I show this a few times in the film. It's incredibly difficult to do, I guess. I've never tried. I don't know if I ever will. But there were a few times where, like, they weren't coming up for a while. And I started panicking and freaking out, and then they would come back up. So there were a few things and a few little moments like that where I was like, oh my gosh, are they ever going to roll back up and are they okay? But they are very, very skilled and they trained for years to be able to do this.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the things I really enjoyed about the film was the young people who were doing this journey. It wasn't just that you were filming them and they were doing what they were doing. They were real active participants because obviously you just mentioned, you know, you had to bring GoPros. Well, guess what? It was the kids who were in many ways sort of your, deputized film crew because obviously their GoPros were part of the action, as well as you had them narrating part of the film. Talk about that. Talk about that participation, both as the subject, but also in some ways your ad hoc crew.
That is such a good question, and I'm so glad you ask it, because when I was starting this film, I knew that I wanted to make this all about the paddlers that were doing this for themselves, for their communities, for their ancestors, and I wanted them to be, you know, center stage. This is about them. And as a filmmaker, especially a documentary filmmaker, I don't want to just go in somewhere and tell a story that's not mine. I wanted them to have as much say. And I had read a lot of articles about what they were doing, and I had just heard about what they were doing. And I wanted to ask them, like, what does this mean to you outside of everything you're seeing in the news, everything that everyone else is telling you that this is for? What does this mean to you? And they really responded to that. And so I, you know, gave them the full ability to just say everything that they wanted to say. And I think they were media trained because they did so good in the interviews. And you could just tell that they were doing this for something bigger than themselves. And when you're doing something for something bigger than yourself, you can just feel the impact from that. And then at the end, when I was editing, some of the puzzles of the pieces weren't falling together. And I thought, oh man, I'm gonna have to narrate this. And I didn't wanna narrate it because it's not about me. So I actually brought Tasia and Julian into the OPB studio and recorded some voiceover with them to kind of put the pieces back together. And it really worked. And they were really happy to do so. And from what I've heard, they're pretty happy with it.
Let me reintroduce you to the audience, talking with Jesse Sears, the producer and director of the new OPB documentary, First Descent, Kayaking the Klamath. You know, youth is a journey, you know, from infant to young adult. And I'm thinking, too, your documentary, you know, it really is, you know, this idea of a journey. And what do you think that journey said about the river itself, the dam removal, but the kids, these indigenous kids who made this epic, almost, Greek myth journey that they did?
Yeah, it's really incredible. It was incredible to see them in this journey because I've never met teenagers like them. Like I said earlier, doing something that is greater than them and something that is outside of themselves and for a bigger purpose. And I didn't go on any journeys like that when I was a teenager.
Me neither.
I was worried about very mundane things, and here they are making history. And it's really incredible to see. And we don't see that often. We don't see journeys like that often. I don't actually know what else to add to that.
Well, one of the things, you know, that like at the very beginning, one of the young people, you know, talked about a relative of theirs saying, "Go be historic." And it was really almost the first, I think, the first line of the mm-hmm. film. And I'm thinking, too, you know, again, for most of us, the history is simply, oh, it's a big engineering project to remove these dams. But, you know, for these people and for their ancestors, this idea of basically freeing a river, talk about the history that you recorded there, this idea that this is now something that, you know, many generations has never seen, this wild river.
Yeah, we're living in such a wild time right now, because we're getting bad news left and right. And with social media and just like constant distractions, we do sometimes lose this bigger picture of why we do things. And I think getting to step back and see some good that is happening can give us hope for the future. And that's how I see this film and this journey that they went on, and the triumph and their success is, overall, the work's not done, and we can celebrate in the success of now and the joy and the happiness of now, because it gives us hope to approach what's next. Because getting the dams removed took decades, and that was a huge triumph, and that was a huge success. And then to have these teenagers kayak the entire 310 miles of the river is another success. So it's like, okay, what's next? That can give us hope for whatever we need to do next.
And I think, too, you know, this theme of triumph, I think what's amazing as well is watching kids triumph. I mean, there's something about that, I think, that really emboldens us all, older people, to see, you know, these 16, 17-year-old kids doing something that many of us as adults couldn't do. Talk about that, you know, again, and also representing, you know, a people who has experienced so much hardship and so much tragedy for hundreds of years. You know, talk about that. It's not a closed circle of triumph, but it is emblematic of their spirit, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think watching teenagers do something that us adults don't often do. We don't go on these, I mean, some people do, but it's just not the usual. But I think it gives us even deeper hope, just knowing it gives them power for themselves and it gives them power for the future. And I mean, I'm in my 30s, so, you know, I am dealing with what has been left down as a society and trying to, you know, find my place in that and seeing how I can make the world a better place. And I find myself getting really worried about the younger generation and worried about my younger brothers and worried about, you know, if I can't fix everything for them, you know, what is there? And then so to see, I think it's extra powerful to see young people being so historic and, like I said earlier, doing something that is greater than themselves. It's just, and again, I just keep going back to this like glimmer of hope that like, okay, they got it, and I'm going to help and support in any way that I can. And, you know, they're not hopeless. They understand, I guess, what they need to do. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good way to answer that.
What are the kind of the, I don't know, supporting characters in your documentary is just this, yes, these kids are doing something historic and important, but they're still kids. And you capture the joy, the goofiness. I mean, there's a great scene where they circle up all the kayaks and they're running on the tops of the kayaks. And I think, you know, I want you to talk about that, this idea that your subjects are still kids, and for them to just act the way that kids are supposed to act, I think was really important in this film. I want you to sort of talk about that.
It was so funny because we would be sitting there having this really deep conversation on camera, and, you know, like Tasia or Julian or Jaden would just be saying these profound things and making me rethink my life and just seeing the world in like this big picture and just feeling so much hope. And then when the cameras are off, they go and make jokes and use lingo that I don't know and understand. And it was just so fun. And I learned a lot from them, from the success of this journey and all of the great big picture things that they did. But then I also learned a lot from them of, oh yeah, life is fun. Life can be fun. And we don't have to take everything so seriously all the time. So I was learning from them every day. And even just when they were being goofy kids, I learned to just be in the moment of that as well. And I don't think we let ourselves have enough fun like we once did when we were teenagers.
Yeah. Well, and then and kind of, you know, turning at 180 is you did have this great moment where you're talking to one of the kids and he was talking about healing this journey, healing for himself, but healing for his community. Talk about that, because in many ways, this removing the dams is a story of healing of the Klamath River.
Yes, definitely. So, yeah, that was Julian who said that, and it was really profound. And I remember that day like it was yesterday, actually, and it was quite a while ago. And this idea of healing the river, I mean, when you see your environment heal around you. So from Julian's perspective and a lot of other Indigenous people's perspective and experience is, you know, when our rivers are sick, we are then sick. And when our environment's sick, we are sick. And our ancestors had to go through that and fight for so long and are still fighting and will most likely continue to fight for a while. And healing takes time. And so when the dams came out, when four of the six dams came out, part of the river began to heal. And with that, you know, the fish are coming back, the fish are healing. And you kind of feel this balance start to come back. And then you start to look around you and you realize a lot of things are out of balance. And as we begin to heal and we get the momentum from healing, you know, the work's not done. We say it in the documentary, the Tasia says it very well, that, you know, how can I be so hopeful and joyful when this is happening everywhere? And so we kind of have to like take this momentum of healing and look to the future and look around the world and around in our environment and see like, okay, where else can healing start? And it starts to heal like a whole lineage and generation.
Yeah.
Like a domino effect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the dam removal, your documentary, what these kids did, it fits in to some degree with a fairly new narrative. Sometimes it's called rewilding or returning natural places that had been scarred by man, returning them to their sort of their pristine condition. And I'm thinking, you know, the Klamath Dam removal, historic. Hopefully it can take on a life of its own and other areas can kind of see that and see that, you know, there's a lot to be said for the natural world. I wanted to just kind of get your thoughts on that, that this is, again, we talked about healing and certainly that should continue.
Yeah, I don't think anyone could argue against the fact that we are very out of balance, like I said. And this idea of rewilding, it's this idea of like working with the land and working with the river, working with wildlife. This idea of rewilding is looking at the land as like not something that we take and take and take from and never give back. I see it as this idea of working alongside our natural environment and helping it and, give back what we take in a more sustainable way. And I think a lot of people are catching on to that idea and realize that that's what's needed. Because we are definitely very much out of balance, and our poor environment is getting the short end of the stick.
My last question for you, Jesse, is, as a documentarian, I know you make movies so that people feel certain things. What do you hope that people take away from watching this documentary?
I really wanted with this one. It's interesting because I went into it wanting audiences to just like be in the moment with the youth. And by the end, I want a lot of things from this. And I want the audience to, yes, be in the moment with these teens, see this great thing that they're doing, but I also want the audience to hear what they're saying and put themselves in this position of realizing that good things take time and that maybe all of us need to consider how we can work towards something greater than ourselves.
Jesse Sears, the producer and director of the new OPB documentary, First Ascent, Kayaking the Klamath. Congratulations on the documentary, and thank you so much for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you so much, Michael.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear from a reporter with the Bend Bulletin about the controversies over the city's diversity program, which has now seen two diversity directors leave their position. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.